Good afternoon, everyone. Apparently, the Simpsons, they might have foretold this epic event, fudging. While kids were left crying and furious parents demanded refunds from Willy Wonka's chocolate experience, some social media pundits proclaimed that the Simpsons had predicted this fiasco all along. We'll explain. In the headlines and the update this Monday, Mayor Adams is playing defense. He's standing by his longtime advisor whose properties were raided by the FBI last week. He's also shrugging off concerns about the mounting federal probes into members of his inner circle. We'll have details. We're going to learn the secret of Hoboken in New Jersey. They recently marked 7 consecutive years without a traffic death. It seems to be the worst case scenario for the New York Knicks. Jalen Brunson had to be helped off the floor with a left knee injury that was sustained during the first minute against the Cavs. And in Decision 2024, Nikki Haley won the District of Columbia's Republican primary. It's her first victory over Donald Trump in the GOP primary race. This is the update, Monday, March the 4th, 2024. Every city has a story. And in New York City, there just happens to be a lot of them. From the Tommy Lynn stage, this is the update with Brandon Julian. A 3-time winner of the Kingsborough Community College Gold Student Service Award. It's everything that you need to know, because anything can happen in New York. Greetings and salutations to you all, folks, every last one of you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the update on a Monday. It is the start of a brand new week for us together around here. I hope all of you did have a good weekend. Boy, that was really one tale of two weekend, wasn't it? You know, Saturday, it was just rainy and dreary and all day. It was dreary because my brother slept in until the mid-afternoon. And then Sunday was the complete opposite. We hit record temperatures around the area, near 70 degrees, actually. I hope you enjoyed that near 70 degrees, because it is just going downhill from here. We're having multiple rounds of rain and multiple chances for heavy rain possible too, maybe even some thunderstorms. And we're not going to see the rain much at all either. So it gives us this feel like we're living in Seattle, Washington this week. But hey, at least it'll be warm. That's about all I can really say about that. I'm Brandon Julian, of course, folks. We appreciate you so much for being here, wherever you may be, and however, of course, personally, that you may be listening to us. Lots of news, of course, to catch you up on. We're going to begin this Monday's proceedings with the mayor of this town, Eric Adams. He is playing defense, standing by a longtime advisor whose properties were raided by the FBI last week. He's also shrugging off concerns about the mounting federal probes into members of his inner circle. During a round of local media appearances on Friday, the mayor said that his administration is fully cooperating with investigators but remains committed to serving city residents. He also defended Winnie Greco, a former fundraiser for Adams, who now serves as his director of Asian affairs. FBI agents carried out raids on Thursday, at 2 Bronx addresses owned by Greco. She's at least the third Adams aide whose home has been targeted, of course,
by federal agents.
Excuse me. Now, on some of the other news of this Monday, and in this city, we had a tradition of piling up garbage bags on the sidewalk for a pickup by the sanitation department. I say had because it's going the way of the dinosaur. As of Friday, all 200,000 businesses in this city are required to put their bags of trash in garbage bins. That's something that communities across this country and around the world have long been doing. The requirement is the next phase in the city's efforts to curb what the Adams administration has called a, quote, 24-hour rat buffet of trash on the sidewalks. The city already required restaurants, convenience stores, bars, and chain stores to use a sturdy trash can with a secure lid. Now every city enterprise must comply. A Venezuelan man who became the subject of national attention for allegedly kicking a police officer in Times Square and then flipping off the news cameras on his way out of court was cleared of wrongdoing on Friday. His attorney, Javier Damian, said that his client was the victim of a, quote, rush to judgment. In recent weeks, the 22-year-old had been widely disparaged in the media for the attack, which prosecutors now say that he had no role in. Footage of him leaving court featured heavily in a pro-Trump ad, and his release without bail generated fiery reactions from police and also officials. Prosecutors say that the man was wrongly identified in the video footage. We learned over the weekend that Iris Apfel, a textile expert, interior designer, and fashion celebrity known for her eccentric style, has died. She was 102 years old. Her death was confirmed by her commercial agent, Lori Sale, who called Apfel extraordinary. Quote, no cause of death was given just yet. Apfel was famous for her irreverent, eye-catching outfits, mixing haute couture and oversized costume jewelry. A classic Apfel look would, for instance, pair a feather boa with strands of chunky beads, bangles, and a jacket decorated with Native American beadwork. With her big, round, black-rimmed glasses, bright red lipstick, and short white hair, she stood out at every fashion show that she attended. She was also a social media star, amassing nearly 3 million followers on Instagram. She will be very deeply missed. In other news, the Attorney General of this state, Tish James, is now demanding that a county on Long Island rescind its ban on transgender athletes competing in female sports. Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman issued an executive order back on the 22nd of February, banning sports organizations from county-run facilities if they allow transgender girls and women to compete on female teams. James says in her cease and desist letter on Friday that the order clearly violates New York's anti-discrimination laws and must be rescinded in 5 days. Blakeman didn't respond to messages seeking comment on Friday, but he did strike a defiant tone on social media. Also in Long Island, out of Rockville Center, a fire truck there plowed through the facade of a furniture store. A Rockville Center PD spokesperson said that the crash on Friday morning injured 4 people. Video that was shared on social media shows the truck careening into the corner of the furniture repair shop after swerving to avoid another vehicle. Officials said a store employee and 3 firefighters inside the truck were hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries, but the crash left much of the building exposed. Photos showed the front half of the fire truck inside of the building. The furniture store, they have not responded to a request for comment. There's a bank in this state that is now under severe pressure to close, just 1 year after absorbing a large chunk of another bank 30 miles away that had failed. Shares of New York Community Bancorp plunged on Friday after longtime CEO Thomas Cangemi, who has spent much of this year reassuring investors about the bank's viability, stepped down abruptly, and the bank postponed a mandatory annual financial disclosure to U.S. regulators due to, quote, material weakness tied to loans. Commercial banks like New York Community Bancorp have been hammered, of course, by falling values in the commercial real estate market after the pandemic upended work and offices for millions. New York Community stands out as it also became much bigger after acquiring the failed Signature Bank. Up north we go now, over to Fort Edward, where a man has been sentenced to the maximum 25 years to life in prison for fatally shooting a 20-year-old woman after the SUV she was riding in mistakenly drove into his rural driveway. Kevin Monahan, of course, was convicted back in January of killing Kaylin Gillis last April. She was riding in a caravan of two cars and a motorcycle that pulled into Monahan's long, winding driveway in Hebron, New York, while her friends were looking for another person's house. Prosecutors, they had argued that Monahan was motivated by irrational rage toward trespassers. Monahan said that the gun went off by accident, and he thought his home was under siege by intruders. Meanwhile, back here in the city limits, a New Jersey businessman has pleaded guilty to trying to bribe Senator Bob Menendez, admitting that he gave a car to the senator's wife to influence the lawmaker. Jose Ribe entered the plea in Manhattan Federal Court Friday. Ribe was among three businessmen charged in the corruption case against the powerful New Jersey Democrat and his wife. Other defendants, they have pleaded not guilty. Ribe was charged with providing Menendez's wife with a Mercedes-Benz to get the senator's help to stop investigations of others. The senator and his wife, along with two businessmen, are scheduled to stand trial in May. A lawyer for Uribe himself declined to comment. The drugstore chains, CVS Health and Walgreens, they're planning to start dispensing the abortion pill mifepristone in a few states. A CVS Health spokesperson says that the company will start filling prescriptions for the medication in Rhode Island and neighboring Massachusetts in the weeks ahead. Walgreens will begin dispensing the medication within a week. The chain will start with some locations in New York, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, California, and Illinois. The announcements come more than a year after federal officials finalized a rule that broadened availability of abortion pills to many more pharmacies, including large chains and mail order companies. Ark House Management and Brigade Capital Management, they're now upping their offer to acquire Macy's in a deal that's now valued at over $6.5 billion. The investment firms announced yesterday that they had submitted an all-cash proposal of $24 for each of the remaining shares in Macy's that they don't already own, I should say, up from an earlier offer of $21 per share. Macy's, they rejected the previous deal, which was valued at a total of nearly $6 billion in January, while citing concerns about the financing plan.
The New York-based retailer confirmed that it has received Arkhouse and Brigades' revised proposal yesterday, adding that their board would carefully review the offer. There are some members of the oil cartel OPEC, led by Saudi Arabia, and allied producers like Russia. They're again deepening their voluntary crude supply cuts. Announcements from several OPEC countries extend reductions of some over 2 million barrels a day, the secretariat for the multinational organization noted yesterday. Saudi Arabia, they led the pack by extending its previously implemented cut of 1 million barrels a day through the end of the second quarter of this year. Russia has also announced an additional voluntary cut of 471,000 barrels per day in the second quarter, across a blend of production and exports. Iraq, the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Kazakhstan, Algeria, and Oman will be continuing reductions as well, according to OPEC's secretariat, but in smaller amounts. Back here in the city limits, there were mournful fans of Flacco, the Eurasian eagle owl. They gathered in town to say goodbye to the beloved celebrity creature who became an inspiration and joy to many as he flew around Manhattan after he was let out of his zoo enclosure. A memorial was held yesterday afternoon in Central Park at what organizers call Flacco's favorite oak tree. He was found dead on the Upper West Side on the 23rd of February after apparently hitting a building. His death was a heartbreaking end for the birders who documented his daily movements and the legions of admirers who followed along. A Florida woman who says that she was struck and dragged by a New York City bus and left partially paralyzed has now been awarded $72.5 million in her lawsuit against the MTA. A city jury found in favor of 68-year-old Aurora Beach Bauchamp, who was hit by an MTA bus and dragged about 20 feet on the Lower East Side of Manhattan back in March of 2017. She suffered severe pelvis injuries and her left leg remains paralyzed. The jury issued its judgment after less than 3 hours of deliberations back on the 22nd of February. The MTA, though, they say they plan to appeal, calling the award excessive. Meanwhile, we're going to take a little trip across the Hudson over to Hoboken in New Jersey. We all know that the previous administration here in New York, the de Blasio administration, they had implemented this plan called Vision Zero to try to get down to zero traffic deaths. Needless to say, it didn't exactly go the way that he had hoped. But in Hoboken, they recently marked 7 consecutive years without a traffic death. Officials there, they credit their decision to take away some street parking, a change that increases visibility for motorists, cyclists, and pedestrians. The city of nearly 60,000 people, just across the Hudson, has now become a model. Sweden, they originated similar changes more than a quarter century ago, and numerous cities, states, and nations have since adopted the approach. One key to Hoboken's success has been so-called daylighting, which removes parking spots near intersections and often replaces them with curb extensions, bike racks, or planters. Excuse me. Now more than 40 states have some sort of daylighting law. California, they just joined the list this year. In other news, we're going to go back out to Long Island and go to Babylon, where police there are trying to identify those human remains found in that popular suburban park. Now they appear to be from a man and a woman. A girl that was walking to school last Thursday found a severed arm on the side of the road at South Ards Pond Park. Police searchers later discovered another arm and a leg nearby. Suffolk County police say the body parts appear to have belonged to a male. And then police said on Friday night that a search dog also discovered the head, an arm, and parts of two legs that are believed to be from a woman. And finally, we're going to go over to Bethel, where an estimated 450,000 people attended the Woodstock Festival in August of 1969. It was a haphazard event that now evokes memories about society's state of mind hearing nearing the end of a tumultuous decade. Most of that crowd was composed of teenagers or young adults now in the twilight of their lives. That ticking clock is why the museum at Bethel Woods, based at the site of the 1969 festival, is immersed in a 5-year project traveling around this country. They are recording the oral histories of people who were there to preserve the Woodstock memories before they fade away. Time for us to step aside momentarily. When we return on the update this Monday, we have a few important messages to tell you from the MTA. Gonna talk some sports and how Knicks fans were worried about Jalen Brunson after he got hurt in the first minute against the Cavs, but the Knicks were able to pull off the win. We're gonna talk together, of course, the latest national news. Decision 2024, Nikki Haley is finally on the board. She won the District of Columbia's Republican primary going into Super Tuesday, which of course is tomorrow. And at the end of the broadcast today, The Simpsons, they may have foretold of this epic event fudging. While there were kids that were left crying and furious parents, they demanded refunds from Willy Wonka's This Chocolate Experience. Some social media pundits proclaimed that The Simpsons predicted this fiasco all along. Gonna talk about this, folks, and a lot more, too, of course, when the update, Brandon Julian, on a Monday, in the start of a brand new week, returns in just a moment. Brandon Julian. You know, when my partner and I got together all those years ago, she told me that she was going to be the best girlfriend partner that I was ever going to have. Now, nearly 6 years later, I continue to remind myself every day that she was right. It really doesn't get any better than her. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, "Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you, and we'll figure it out."
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. You know, folks, of all of the podcasters and the news anchors in the city of New York, I just so happen to be one of them. I just think I'm a little bit different than the rest. This is The Update with Brad and Julia. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies. It's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Through the first half of 2024, F trains will run on the E line at all times in both directions, between Rockefeller Center and Jackson Heights Roosevelt Avenue because of track replacement along the 63rd Street line. On weekdays, M trains will not run between Rockefeller Center and Forest Hill 71st Avenue. Trains will run between 57th Street on the F line and Metropolitan Avenue. A special F shuttle train will run every 20 minutes between Lexington Avenue, 63rd Street, and 21st Street, Queensbridge, stopping at Roosevelt Island. The shuttle train will not run overnight. Free shuttle buses will run between 21st Street, Queensbridge, and Queens Plaza on days and evenings, and between Roosevelt Island, 21st Street, Queensbridge, and Queens Plaza overnight. Through early 2024, Manhattan-bound 7 trains are skipping 111th Street and 82nd Street, Jackson Heights, because of station improvements. For nearby service, use a Flushing-bound 7 train or use the Q32 or Q48 buses on days and evenings along Roosevelt Avenue. Through the summer of 2024, Manhattan-bound J and Z trains are skipping 75th Street, Eldridge Lane, and Woodhaven Boulevard because of station improvements. For nearby service, use the Q56 bus making stops along Jamaica Avenue. The New York City Police Department would like to remind you to keep your belongings in sight and to stay aware of your surroundings. If you see something suspicious in the station or on the train, tell a police officer or an MTA employee. MTA crews are here to help us get around. Let's treat them with respect. Assaulting a New York City Transit employee is a felony, punishable by up to 7 years in prison. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.90, with the exception of the BX18A, BX18B, B60, M116, Q4, Q4 Limited, S46, and S96 Limited, until March 30th. Transfers on all other lines must be requested upon payment of the cash fare. For the S79 Select Bus Service, pay your fare on board the bus. For all other Select Bus Service routes, pay at the kiosk outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $7. Coins are not accepted as a payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
Forgive me if it would be rather foolish of me if I said that despite having a good season so far, the New York Knicks have not exactly had a great stretch of things so far. They've been without multiple people because of injuries. Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson, OG Anunoby, among probably many others. And now we can add Jalen Brunson, the star guard of the Knicks, to that growing injury list. This probably needs a little bit of context. Knicks and the Cavs going at it up in Cleveland.
And Brunson had to be helped off the floor with a left knee injury that was sustained in the first minute against the Cavs. Brunson, who's averaging about 27 points a game so far, appeared to hurt himself while attempting a jump shot over the Cavs' Isaac Okoro. Brunson came off a screen near the foul and raised up without any contact. The 27-year-old Brunson immediately grabbed his left leg and then fell to the floor. The Knicks said at the time that he had a sore knee and his return to that game was questionable. As I mentioned earlier, an elite scorer, Brunson essentially has been carrying the Knicks so far, who are currently without Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson, and OG Anunoby because of current injuries. The primary race in Decision 2024 seems to finally get interesting. By the way, I should probably preface that last bit by saying that the Knicks somehow came back to win that game. I think it was 108-97. Fact-check me on that. But yes, the Decision 2024 race on the Republican side seems like it's finally getting interesting, as Nikki Haley finally got on the board with a win of her first primary. Chris Mortensen, the award-winning journalist for ESPN that covered the NFL, has died. And apparently, there's a recall alert to tell you about from Trader Joe's. Gonna talk about this, folks, because national news. It's next for us around here, of course, when the update of Brandon Julian continues. But first, ladies and gentlemen, we do have to inform you about the following. Where has the time gone? I really hope that I didn't write that line. Did I write that line? Well, maybe I actually did. We're now celebrating 7 years of this program. 7 long news-filled years. My producers, who look for any excuse to hold a celebration, are having one every weekend as we go into the update archives to play you an episode from throughout the many years of this program. And then on the weekends, also once a month, we'll play an episode from my list of personal favorites throughout the many years of this program, as I explain to you why that particular episode is one of my favorites. So every weekend, dig into the update archives with us to remember where you were when this particular episode aired. And then once a month, the list of my favorite episodes as well. Keep listening on the weekends because it'll be a party that you will never forget. Unless, of course, you can't actually remember it from, well, you know, the night before. You know, as I was growing up, my mother told me to always wipe my feet on the mat before I go into the studio. Well, Mom, this one's for you. There's a lot more show to stick around and listen to as the update of Brandon Julian. We'll be right back after these messages. It's news for New Yorkers who never stop moving. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Tom and Levi.
Tom is the smartest man I know. He's been a professor at 2 major universities, been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, he told me that he was having problems in his classes. I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. And he was telling them that he was doing it as a favor to them, but I think in reality, he just wanted to get out of there. I was really starting to worry because I saw something was wrong.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me, and my love for him was just immense.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. Honestly, people, I would do anything for my wife, Tommy. But I know I'm not the best romantic person out there. There are more people that are more romantic than I am. Did you know, folks, that a long, long time ago, Prince Edward abdicated his right to the English throne to the woman he loved? Isn't that unbelievable? He had to choose between the woman he loved or being King of England. And that idiot chose the girl. Now, I'm sure, folks, that it was the right moment at that exact moment in time, and I'm happily in a relationship with my wife. But even in the best of moments, each person in a relationship has had a time where they thought, I've made an enormous mistake. But you know what, folks? I bet you never thought I could have been King of England. This is The Update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to The Update with Brandon Julian on a Monday, everyone. Start of a brand new week for us together around here through what will be a very rainy week, making it feel like it's the Pacific Northwest. It's Seattle, Washington. But hey, at least it'll be mild. That's probably the only good thing I have to say about all this. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. Let us talk together right now, of course, the latest national news. And we are going to begin, of course, in Washington and talk Decision 2024. Donald Trump's is steamrolling over Nikki Haley in the GOP race to the nomination hit a speed bump as Haley won the District of Columbia primary. It's her first victory in the GOP race. The Associated Press, they declared Haley the winner last night after D.C. Republican Party officials released the vote totals. Her victory, as I just said, halts the former president's sweep of the GOP voting contest, at least temporarily, though Trump still remains the race's front runner. There are only about 23,000 registered Republicans in the nation's capital, which, of course, is heavily Democratic. In other news, congressional leaders, they've come out with a package of six bills setting full-year spending levels for some federal agencies. The move yesterday was a big step forward in a long overdue funding process beset by sharp political divisions between the two parties, as well as infighting among House Republicans. The release of the text of legislation over the weekend is designed to meet the House's rule to give lawmakers at least 72 hours to study the bill, before promising to vote on it. And it's a promising sign that lawmakers will avoid a partial shutdown that would kick in at 12:01 a.m. on Saturday for those agencies that are covered under the bill. Speaking of Decision 2024, a big case is going to come down in the Supreme Court that could potentially affect it. It could come down as soon as today in the case about whether the former president can be kicked off the ballot over his efforts to undo his defeat in the 2020 election. Trump is challenging a groundbreaking decision by the Colorado Supreme Court that said that he's disqualified from being president again and ineligible for the state's primary, which is tomorrow. The resolution of the case today, one day before Super Tuesday contest in 16 states, would remove some uncertainty about whether votes for Trump, the leading Republican candidate, of course, will ultimately count. Both sides have requested fast work by the court, which heard arguments less than a month ago on February 8th. We've learned that Chris Mortensen, the award-winning journalist who covered the NFL for close to four decades, including 32 of them as a senior analyst at ESPN,
died yesterday morning. He was 72 years old. ESPN confirmed Mortensen's death yesterday. There was, though, no immediate word on the cause or place of death. Mortensen announced back in 2016 that he had been diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer. Even while he was undergoing treatment, he was the first to confirm the retirement of the Hall of Fame quarterback Peyton Manning. Mortensen announced his retirement after the NFL draft last year so that he could, quote, focus on my health, family, and faith. He, of course, will be very deeply missed. At the box office over the weekend, many people in movie theaters were looking for a savior, and Dune Part 2 apparently delivered on the promise. Armed with Sandworm's big screen spectacle and the star power of Timothée Chalamet, Denis Villeneuve's science fiction epic stormed the North American box office over the weekend, earning $81.5 million in ticket sales. At least that's according to the studio estimates yesterday. It's the first major hit of the year and one that was sorely needed by exhibitors. Dune 2 had rode a wave of great reviews into a marketplace that was essentially free of competition. Warner Brothers released it in nearly 4,100 locations in the U.S. and also Canada. And finally, we have a recall alert to tell you about. As more than 61,000 pounds of steamed chicken soup dumplings sold at Trader Joe's are being recalled for possibly containing hard plastic, according to U.S. regulators. The Agriculture Department's Food Safety and Inspection Service noted that the now-recalled dumplings, which are produced by CJ Foods Manufacturing Beaumont Corporation, may be contaminated with foreign materials, especially hard plastic, specifically, from a permanent marker pen. The 6-ounce Trader Joe's steamed chicken soup dumplings under recall can be identified by their side box labels with lot codes 03.07.25.C1-1 and 03.07.25.C1-2. To date, though, no related illnesses or injuries have been reported just yet. But, you know, it's better to be safe. Sorry. You know, folks, The Simpsons has a habit of peering into the future when it comes to certain things. And apparently they might have just done it again with the Willy Wonka chocolate experience. Gonna tell you about this, folks, because your honorable mention is next. When the update of Brandon and Julian, with the weather starting to turn south, continues.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. Your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. If there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops. My dad wasn't around, and I remember riding a bike and falling off and cutting myself, and me never would just want to get back on it. People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike, and you didn't. I didn't teach them. I just created an environment where they taught themselves, and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. You know, it's a big holiday tradition, you know, it's the fruitcake. I love all the holiday traditions, as Jim Gaffigan once said. You know, like the Christmas tree. My birthday's right next to Christmas. Christmas tree, you know, we go chop a tree, we go put it in our living room. Sometimes I think that's the creation of a drunk man, really. Some woman wakes up, honey, why is there a pine tree in our living room? I like it. We're gonna decorate it for Jesus.
And then I'm going to hang my socks over the fireplace. Fill them with candy. Maybe I can tie some leaves to a ceiling, see if I can get some action. And now I'm going to peep down this couch. Merry Christmas. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Monday, everyone. Start of a brand new week for us together around here. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. You know, folks, there is just enough time left for us today, of course, for your honorable mention. We're talking about The Simpsons. So, well, not exactly. First of all, I have not seen a whole lot of episodes of The Simpsons. I honestly don't even know how many seasons of The Simpsons there are. All I know, it's a lot. It's almost the same amount of seasons as Grey's Anatomy. What did Dr. Mike on Twitter once say? Like, 49 seasons of Grey's Anatomy is about 15 more than we actually need? Now all the Grey's Anatomy fans are going to come after me. But the reason that we're talking about The Simpsons is because they have this weird thing of being able to predict the future. Like, if you watch The Simpsons from the earlier seasons, they've been credited with defining everything, potentially, from Titanic to the Russian invasion in Ukraine. And in the latest example of this, we're talking about Willy Wonka's chocolate experience. Needless to say, it's not gone very well. It's been mercilessly mocked after it failed to deliver on a promise to delight children with a recreation of Roald Dahl's fictional candy factory. Over in Glasgow in Scotland, photos from the soiree, which cost attendees $45 per person, have gone viral online, with viewers stunned by the dismal warehouse setting, the paltry props, and the unenthused employees dressed as Oompa Loompas. While kids were left crying and furious parents, they demanded refunds, some social media folks proclaimed that it was The Simpsons that predicted the fiasco all along. You see, the mad groaning created comedy, which has been hailed as, quote, the world's most prophetic cartoon, ran an episode in 1993 featuring an eerily similar plot. In this episode, entitled Bart's Inner Child, Homer Simpson buys a trampoline, which he plans to use in a backyard theme park for children. While the fantasy never comes to fruition, the Simpsons patriarch does a dream about Homerland, at which guests pay $50 to pile onto a tiny trampoline and play in a fort made from dirty mattresses. When Bart's friend Milhouse claims that the latter attraction, quote, smells funny, a deluded Homer retorts, no, it doesn't. But that's not where the Simpsons similarities end. In another episode from 2002, Homer encounters a sad, smoking Oompa Loompa that looks like a lot like its cosplayer counterpart at the botched Wonka Bash. By the way, this next quote has curses in it, and I'm just going to say right now, we say the full curses because we are all friends here. But on X, formerly known as Twitter, pundits, they pointed out the similarities, with one of them remarking, holy shit, The Simpsons, they did it again. Others, they said that Homeland still looked preferable to the Wonka event in Scotland. One ex-user commented, quote, still more fun than the Willy Wonka experience. Another wrote, quote, the crazy part is that Homerland unironically looks 10 times better. And unfortunately, it wasn't just the visitors or the internet gawkers who were appalled by the Scottish events' shoddiness. Actor Paul Connell, who played the part of Wonka at Willy's Chocolate Experience, has spoken out, describing it as, quote, an absolute mess. You see, the Scotsman said that the first red flag came when he was cast as the titular cane-twirling chocolatier and not an Oompa Loompa, a role that he felt he was better suited for. He quipped, quote, anyone who looks at me and thinks Willy Wonka and not Oompa Loompa is out of their mind. Connell ultimately dubbed the event one of the, quote, most embarrassing things he's ever seen, adding that it was, quote, disrespectful to the families and us as promising actors. He later declared, quote, I really hope that everyone gets their refunds that they deserve. The House of Illuminati, which organized the event, has since apologized for the fiasco on their Facebook page. I mean, my God, I saw, I read the book, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Great book, by the way. You should read it sometime. But Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory I'm most renowned with, or I've seen the most on TV, is the one with Gene Wilder. The one where he eats, you know, the teapot flour. Which, by the way, did you know that flour that he bit into was made of wax? You never knew that. There is one with the Johnny Depp as the Wonka, and I think it was the Before He Became Wonka. That movie also came out recently, but I prefer this one over the others, just so I know. I will let you guys ponder on this, as we say in the words of Walter Cronkite, that's the way it is. Monday, March the 4th, 2024. That is the update on this Monday. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you being here with us. My list of personal favorite episodes. We're talking about Halloween in 2017. Otherwise means going back to year number one of this program. It comes down the road in March, actually in just a couple weeks from now, on the 16th, March 16th, wherever, of course, you happen to listen to this podcast. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. Trust me. I wouldn't lie to you. Until we all go schlepping around in the rain and, you know, our levels drop because it's raining out there. In the words, of course, of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hopefully that your news, folks, it will be good news. I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck. Be safe. And most importantly, folks, please be well. And honey, I'm really excited to go bowling tonight. Lane 15 is all ours. So quiet makes you think, doesn't it? The rain comes in, not just one round of rain, multiple rounds of rain. This is going to be a slow drag this week. Let's talk about that and a lot more too, of course, folks, when I see all of you right back here tomorrow. See you then.